Hello, my name is Daniel. I'm one of the pastors here. And I wasn't quite sure who they were talking about with what was the word of pledging unconditional loyalty, or what was those words? Hopelessly devoted. As a pastor, I do have, I think it's my duty right now to recommend anybody, if you're staying for pizza with the pastors afterwards, don't drink the Kool-Aid after hearing stuff like that. That's a really, really bad sign. Now the kids are dismissed for children's church, so if you want to go out, you can. And we are looking at now a little ritual that we have every week called Pass the Peace. We just take a few moments to encourage each other, just with some simple words of the presence, blessing others with our presence. And you can say something simple, or you don't even have to say anything, but the lines are something like this: peace be with you, and the response... Okay, we're going to do this for a few. Let us return to our seats. Let us return to our seats. All right. Somebody shout out a time to me. What time are we at right now? I don't have my watch up here. What time is it, Jessica? 11:06. Okay, cool. All right. I want to make sure we don't go too long today. So 11:06, let's get going. So today, I wanted to get started. Usually somebody comes up and prays for me. I heard the service might go a little long today, so my mom prayed for me back beforehand. So all that's good. But as we get into this today, one of the things I need to confess is that I am committing the crime of plagiarism today. I'm plagiarizing this message. I'm getting lazy and didn't want to write my own sermon today. And there's a pastor that I love listening to during the sermons. I check out the podcast and whatnot. So I'm just straight out ripping this from a sermon that I heard on a podcast a while back. Fortunately, though, I got some contact information on the pastor. She gave me permission. So this one comes from Pastor Emily Farrell. It's from January 30th, 2022, from the Something Beautiful series. All right, so I've acknowledged where I'm plagiarizing from. Last week was Easter. 420, as I think Roger mentioned too, a weird Easter. But it was Easter, and... No, that's 2 weeks ago, wasn't it? 2 weeks ago. Don't listen to me. That's why we don't want to be a cult. So a couple weeks ago was Easter, and we talked about the poor performance of Jesus' 12 disciples during the crunch time. Like when it was most crucial for Jesus, when he needed them the most, all 12 of them dropped the ball and they failed. And I don't know about you, but I'm personally grateful for the failure of the disciples. It gives people like me hope. I know I even love like bad parenting examples. So like I love to read Genesis and I see how dysfunctional those families are. And I think, oh, mine's not that bad. We haven't had a brother kill a brother or any sibling murders or some really bad stuff. So I personally appreciate the failures and the bad performances of some of the people in the Bible because of the hope that we have of grace. So again... Almost all of those disciples failed. I fail sometimes too. Palm Sunday, I failed. I didn't even know what to say. And I had to go back and get the sermon notes. And so there is one person, I forgot about this, but there's one person in this congregation who has always told me, whenever you can't go, I'm your backup preacher. So it's a great offer. And so like, this guy is so committed to being the backup preacher, so if I fail today again or forget what to say, or if this happens this summer, I want everybody to know who the backup preacher is. So one of the things he said, I want to be such a good backup today, he called me, he's like, I even want to wear the same uniform as you do. So I want to dress the same, and so we had our outfits coordinated, and this morning I was going to wear a white shirt. And then I remembered this morning that it was pizza day and I was going to get pizza all over my white shirt. So I had to change it. So my twin today could not exactly match. So our shirts are a little bit different. But if you can figure out who is my twin today in our outfit, you know who the backup preacher is. Good luck finding him. All right. So despite all these good examples of bad examples from the 12 disciples, there were more than 12 disciples. There were other disciples who aren't in that list. And we do, from Easter, have one example of a faithful disciple who we can really learn from. So today we're going to look at that disciple's story. Luke 8:1 introduces us. So we'll read this verse. It may seem like kind of a throwaway verse, but it's not. It's really important, and we'll talk about why. So Luke's talking about what's going on in Jesus' ministry. He says that Jesus traveled about from one town and village to another, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him. And also, see, it's not just the 12 who are with him. There's some others with him. So "and also" may not seem like that those big of words, but they are, because Luke's giving us some really important information. And also some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. That part's a little strange, but let's not be distracted from what's being said. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had come out. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, the manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. These women were helping to support them out of their own means. Today we're going to focus on that one disciple who came through and is the good example from Easter, who was there in the most clutch moments. And her name is Mary Magdalene. Now I have to confess, I'm a little bit self-conscious in saying her name, because sometimes people say Mary Magdalene and sometimes Mary Magdalene. We could do a vote, but she's from Magdala, so let's just go with Magdalene today. Sound good? I may interchange it, and that's okay. Give me some grace today. So we're going to be talking about Mary Magdalene. And let's go to the next place. So Luke is telling us, he's establishing, Mary has been with Jesus from the beginning. She was part of traveling with the 12, traveling with Jesus, and she was even supporting. She was a financial supporter. She was a loyal, faithful, very important supporter who was there in the background doing important work. Now, because she was a girl and they didn't want to write a ton about girls back then, they wanted to focus more on the guys. The gospel writers don't tell us a lot about what she was doing during Jesus' ministry. We simply know she was there in the background, crucial to the story, because they could not ignore her. Because the next place we come, again, she's this woman who's with Jesus. She's from Magdala, which was a fishing village off the Sea of Galilee. That's what we know about her. And then we go to the next place. Next time, Matthew 27. And when Jesus had cried out, he's on the cross here. Again, in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. Many women were there watching from a distance. At this point, most of the 12 had abandoned. We think John maybe had come back and he was kind of watching from a distance. So maybe one of the 12 was there. But there were many women who were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. We don't know about a lot of their unsung deeds, but they were really, really important to what Jesus is doing. Really important. They were there from the beginning, taking care of his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. So Mary is still there. Not all the other 12 disciples have abandoned Jesus. She hasn't. She's still there. So next, we go to Matthew 27. Jesus has died. 27:57. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb, and he had cut out that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. After Jesus died, none of the 12 were there. Mary was the one who remained. Mary and somebody else, but they were there when Jesus was placed in the tomb. After death, she was still loyal. So So Luke has established this is a woman who's been with Jesus through the beginning of his ministry. She's still there. Listen to the beginning of the Easter story in John 21. 20, verse 1. Early on, the first day of the week, pay attention to who gets the first mention. While it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." There's one disciple that we're told clearly was at the empty tomb. So the first one at the empty tomb to break the news to the 12 was who? Okay, and these things may seem kind of subtle in the story because a lot of people don't focus on them, but Mary was the first one to give the information to the disciples that the tomb is empty, the 12 disciples. So she is the first one to discover the empty tomb. And then we see a little bit later in John 20:11. So all they know at this point, the tomb is empty. Like, they knew the same thing. When people die, they stay dead. So the most reasonable thing to think is somebody moved his body. Like, where is it? Where's the body of Jesus? And Mary was still committed. She was back there trying to figure out. So John 20, verse 11. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken away my Lord," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you're looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers, and you, Mary Magdalene, are the one to tell them," the 12, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Who was the first person to proclaim the Easter message? Mary Magdalene. Maybe Jesus, like he told her he'd risen, right? He appeared. But the first human being, the first apostle that we have is Mary Magdalene. This is really important. And again, I'm so thankful for the failures of the 12 guys who were so close to Jesus. But I'm also thankful that we can see one person, the first one chosen to be the witness, the first witness of the resurrection, was a faithful example, came through and shows us what to do. We can see what not to do and what to do. And we have that in Mary Magdalene. What a gift that is. She was the last remaining disciple of Jesus. She was the last to see his body, the last to see his body into the tomb, and the first to see him after he came back from the dead. Very significant. She was the first one to proclaim, "He is risen." That starts with Mary. Pretty awesome. Pastor Emily pointed out in that sermon, there's a song that sometimes we sing around Easter called, "Were You There?" Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when God raised him from the tomb? And the only person, the only human being who could say, "Yeah, I was there," was Mary Magdalene. And the thing that Mary did that is just such an incredible example is that the best discipleship example to follow is Mary was a person, she remained with Jesus. She was there. It wasn't about the spectacular. It wasn't about sermons. People who talk, it doesn't mean a ton. It means a little bit, maybe. But it's the people who are loyal, the people who remain with Christ. And that is the example that we have from Mary Magdalene, the one who remained. She was the great practitioner of Jesus' teaching when he said in John 15:4, "Remain in me, and as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Mary Magdalene was the one who remained to the end in life and death and the afterlife. She was the one who was there. She was the one who remained. She was the one who did what Jesus told us to do, to remain in him. She showed herself to be a disciple. What will we follow? Will we follow Mary's example? Will we follow Jesus? We all get to answer that question for ourselves. As has been mentioned, I'm getting ready to go on a sabbatical. I'm very grateful for the opportunity, so I just want to thank the congregation for your support. I look at it as a great, great gift and blessing from the congregation. And one of the things that we're going to do, Jenny and I, next week, we're going to be in this one place called Corinth. And once upon a time, these people in Corinth, we know a few of their names, they got this letter. And the letter came from a guy named Paul, who didn't really believe in the Jesus story of him coming back from the dead until Jesus appeared to him too. And then his life was changed. He went from a persecutor and worried about religious differences and trying to stop anything that was wrong to a man who preached Jesus and the gospel of forgiveness and grace and hope and eternal life in Christ. And these are the words that the Apostle Paul wrote to these people like Mary Magdalene that were gathered together, faithful in Corinth some of the time. 1 Corinthians 13:8, love never fails. Other translations say love never ends. You could also say love remains. Love never fails. He said there's lots of things that are going to pass away. Where there are prophecies, words that people speak, there's going to be a time where they're over. Where there are tongues, they're going to be still. Where there is knowledge, things we know, all going to pass away. There's some things that remain and some things that pass away. A lot of things do pass away and change. But his closing declaration was this here in 1 Corinthians, verse 13 here, 13:13. And now these three remain. After all these things pass away, there's going to be three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The sabbatical will be a great time for my family and I to remember the things that will remain. Jenny and I will be celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary here next month. Well, yes, it's awesome. We'll be remembering the things there's, because I know as a pastor here, there's been pastors, other pastors before me. I'm very replaceable. Hopefully, there'll be pastors after me. My position here is very temporary and replaceable, but some things can't be replaced. Jenny will never have another first husband. My kids will never have another father. I can't be replaced there. I can be replaced in this position. And this is a great opportunity that we have to think about those things that remain. I was born in Danville, Illinois. And in Danville, a lot of us are proud of our most famous hometown hero, Dick Van Dyke. You heard of him? He was Bert and Mary Poppins. He had his own show. And December 13th last year, he turned 99. So he's remained a long time. We know his life on earth isn't going to last much longer. But I was really, being a Danville boy, one of the things I really loved is that on his 99th birthday, the group Coldplay released a song, a video with him. And if you got our YouVersion, there's even a link to the video. I think it's great. I think you would love it. So click it if you can or Google it. All My Love by Coldplay. But in the video, you see a 99-year-old man singing the song about love, how love remains, and dancing and reflecting on his life like only a 99-year-old person can do that, such a rich history, and surrounded by his loved ones and just like taking the song in and seeing this man celebrate his family and his life. It's a great joy to me. And it seems like the perfect song for communion to remember Jesus and Mary Magdalene and their relationship too. So we're going to do that. What's the code? Yeah, come on in, boys. Let's do it. So we're not going to put the lyrics up to this song today. This is just a song to remember. So they're going to do the beginning of this song, and then we're going to do communion after they pause here. But I just want to listen to this song, think about Jesus and Mary and the love of God that he has for you. Because God's love is a constant. We give thanks to the Lord because he is good. His love endures forever. It remains forever. There's some things that are going to stay forever. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away. Empires rise, empires fall. But some things remain, and that's love. God's love is the constant, and may we turn towards that, because we always have that option. We can turn away, but may we turn towards it again. So just listen to this song and think about the love of God and what remains in life. Let me close with a blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face towards you and give you peace.